Hey listeners, the Culture Commentary Podcast is intended for mature audiences and may contain language or subject matter that is sensitive to some listeners. Please be advised, and thank you for listening. Here we go. What's up, listeners? Welcome back to the Culture Commentary Podcast. I am Christian, the Culture Queen, and I'm so happy that you're back here with me for another episode. It's been a little minute, as per usual. I ain't even gonna give the usual spiel because y'all know how I am by now. Those of you who have followed me for a while know how this goes. Sis be dipping in and out, but nonetheless, I am grateful and happy to still be here in the land of the living and the land of the thriving. The land of the trying to survive, getting by and surviving, scratching and surviving, whatever else you want to call it. We are still here after all we've been through, after the past year and a half or so. We still standing. We here sharing the space right now together. And for that, I say thank you. Haha, yes. I'm not going to waste no time. I'm going to just get right into it and start off with my favorite segment, What's Going On? So what's going on in the world right now? You know, you watch the news, you on social media. If you're here listening to me, then I know you connected to something. But just to give a quick rundown. Y'all, after a year and some change of us being literally on lockdown in a way that none of us had ever experienced before, we finally have a vaccine for COVID-19. The noble coronavirus that shook the world with a global pandemic last year, in case you've been living under a rock. We finally have a vaccine, which means that the world is finally starting to open back up slowly but surely, and in some places pretty quickly. It is such a good feeling to be getting back to some semblance of semi-normalcy. I'm just so, I feel so much gratitude that I'm one of the people who made it, one of the many of us who made it through all that we went through last year, especially trying to avoid this virus, navigating having family and friends who survived the virus. Unfortunately and sadly, many people who also know people who did not make it through the virus. And to those people who did experience tough losses last year at the hands of the pandemic, once again, I extend my deepest sympathies and condolences to each and every one of you and your families, because I know that's not easy. I know that it's hard. My family was touched by the virus as well. And, someone that I'm close to lost someone through that. So all of us know someone. And I just think that going through that experience, while it was horrendous and it was scary and still is at times in its own way, it did remind us of the preciousness of time and just how precious and uncertain life is. Some can choose to have a grim outlook on that, but me personally, I choose to take the high road and try to be positive and optimistic. What the pandemic taught me is that time is short, time is fleeting, time is not promised. And so it is our job to live every day to the fullest that we can. Live it like it is our last. Appreciate it for all that it is, even with the challenges. Challenges are going to come. They always are. But as the good book says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. And I think that's truly something that we've each seen in our own way this past year. Yes, last year was tough. This time last year, we were so upset that it was summertime and we couldn't do a lot of the activities that we wanted to do. We couldn't go share space with the people we love, the people that we care about. We couldn't do anything, really. Most of us spent literally a year inside. And I think some of us are seeing ourselves be challenged by the world opening back up now that we've gotten used to kind of, chilling all the time, I'm still so happy that it is in time for the summer. I had dinner tonight with a group of people that I love dearly, and I'm just so excited to be able to share space with my friends and loved ones and sisters and brothers too, the way that I wasn't for a whole year. I've been to a comedy show since I got vaccinated. I done traveled up the road to where I went to college for a night. I done had my first experience going to a little schmitty concert in a local club here. And when I tell y'all, I was never the going out type. before COVID. I'm still, you know, in my own way. I'm an ambivert, which is a mixture of an extrovert and an introvert. Like, I go out when I want to, and when I'm ready to go home, I do. But let me tell y'all, these few tastes of going back out have been so wonderful to me. And I know that y'all listening feel the same way and have experienced it in one way or another. Now, with that, I'm really excited to get into the summertime. It's funny, I've lived at the same apartment complex for about 2 years now. And pre-COVID, I moved in like right when the pool was closing here. And then I didn't utilize it my first summer here. And then, you know, we went through COVID or whatever. So I'm really excited to do the small things like that this summer. I'm excited to go swimming because it's something I love to do in the summertime. I'm excited to try to book a little trip and go somewhere, get away for a while and just separate from my life in my hometown and just do something fun or rest up or chill or do a mixture of both. Like I said earlier, I'm excited to spend time with my family and friends. It has meant the world to me to be able to get together this year in a small intimate setting for Easter and then to turn around and get to do something a little bit bigger for Memorial Day now that me and my family are all vaccinated. And I know that that's been a struggle in itself and a conversation, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. But no matter where you stand on the vaccination issue, I think that one thing we can all take from this experience as a collective is to just to do our part to be safe and be clean and do things to try to make sure that we keep ourselves and the people around us healthy. Now, granted, there have been plenty of people I've noticed out and about who could not wait to take the masks off. And that's their prerogative. That's their choice. I ain't gonna judge nobody. I have no room to do so. As for me and mine, I do plan to stay masked up at least a little bit. When I'm in crowded spaces, when I'm in closed in spaces like the grocery store. But, you know, I am to the point where if I forget my mask in the car and I'm going to pump gas or something, or, you know, doing something or going somewhere where I'm not going to be in close proximity with people, I feel a lot more comfortable doing that now. But, you know, I still keep my hand sanitizer on deck. I'm still washing my hands regularly like I got some sense. And I hope that others continue to do those things too. Despite the craziness of COVID, though, there are a few COVID procedures that I hope stay in effect for a while, like curbside food and curbside groceries got me together during the pandemic. I love those services. I hope to see stuff like that stick around. I hope that people continue to make soap and water and hand sanitizer readily available to people because, you know, we all know them people that's nasty. And those people who look like they come out of a house full of cats that walk in their dishes and then they be bringing something to the potluck, want people to taste it. Yeah. potlucks can stay where they are at as well. While we talking about stuff that can stay from COVID, the eradication of the work potluck can stay where it's at because them things be real, real questionable. And just, you know, other stuff like that. Uncleanliness can stay where it's at as well. I'm all here for everybody washing everything for the happy birthday song 2 times, aka 20 seconds. yeah, I'm just really, really happy that we are getting to that point where there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I don't expect that COVID is just going to disappear or go anywhere. But I am grateful that the scientific powers that be, those great minds and innovative people who spend their time searching for medical solutions and solutions to certain problems, were able to come up with a vaccine. On that same tip, there's also been a lot of controversy around the coronavirus vaccines. I say vaccines because, of course, there's a vaccine, but it is administered by and manufactured by different bodies of big pharma. So, you know, there was a lot of up and down, a lot of controversy, a lot of conversations about, are you getting the vaccine? Are you not getting the vaccine? Why aren't you getting the vaccine? And, you know, I take the approach of trying to meet people where they are. I believe in extending a little grace. When it comes to Black people, I understand why we were so apprehensive about getting vaccinated this time around. I do. And when the vaccine was first announced back in the wintertime, they were talking about working toward a solution quickly. I was a little apprehensive as well. I was very much one of the people like, I mean, I might get it eventually, but I won't be first in line. I want to see, you know, what the effects are going to be. And Black people, we have a very tumultuous history with the medical industry in the United States. And I say the medical industry because here in this country, that is what healthcare is. It is an industry. It is a money-making machine. And it is a money-making product. They make money off of us being sick. There are forces at bay that, you know, some work to keep us sick while supposedly also working to get us well. There are a lot of hands in a lot of pots. And I'm not going to go into the specifics of that. But I say all this to say that I acknowledge fully that Black people have been used and abused by the medical industry here. Gynecology, the father of gynecology, is praised for his discoveries. But the fact of the matter is that the only reason why he was able to pioneer certain techniques is because he was operating on enslaved Black women who could not consent to being medical subjects, who did not consent to being medical subjects. He would operate on them and cut into them and, you know, perform hysterectomies and all kind of other procedures on them with no anesthesia. There's the legacy of the Tuskegee experiment in which Black men were injected with syphilis and they weren't cured, and plenty of people died because of that or suffered greatly because of it. And there are books and studies and think pieces and articles galore out there about the history of Black body of medical findings being achieved at the expense of Black bodies and Black lives. So I don't need to go into the full history of that. Those of us who know, know. And those who don't, I encourage you to research what I'm talking about before you claim that I'm lying or, you know, just reject the idea that this could happen in good old America. Because the fact of the matter is, good old America has not been that great for Black people all the time. Today, things are better than they have been in the past, but they're still not peachy keen. They're still not perfect. Because if they were, we wouldn't have been going through a whole race uprising and racial, I don't even know what word to put with it. I don't want to say revolution because not much has changed. I'm not going to call it a war because there was a lot of talking and there was some violence. But, you know, I'm not going to go as far as to call it that. But a racial awakening, so to speak. At the same time, if America was such a great place, we would not have been going through such a tumultuous time in regards to race relations at the same time that we were going through a global pandemic last year. For Black people, we lived two pandemics at once. We lived with the fact that a disease, a virus, was crippling the world around us. And we were also living with the fact that the same old racism we wake up to and navigate through every day presented its ugly, ugly head back to back to back in the form of 4 to 5 and even more Black people dying and being discussed on the national scale with little to no justice. Now, gratefully, you know, the killer of George Floyd has been convicted now and will, you know, serve time. But there's the fact that there are lots of names we don't know that ended last year because of police violence. They ended because of violence against protesters. They ended because there was violence against people using their constitutional right to demonstrate and to protest and to bring attention to the cause that meant something to them and should mean something to all of us. You know, I know I'm deviating a bit here from what I originally was talking about, but, you know, we've just lived through so much. So I say all that to say that my Black brothers and sisters, I understand why people have been hesitant to jump on the vaccination train. But speaking for myself, I ended up ultimately making the choice to get vaccinated because I have, you know, a lot of immunocompromised people around me. I have elders that I look after and that I care about that I miss seeing because, you know, we had to be extremely careful not to spread anything between each other or to them. And I made the decision ultimately to protect myself, but also protect the people that I love. And, you know, I'm not going to condemn anybody who chooses not to get the vaccine. I just ask you to do your part in making sure that you don't spread anything either. It's about, like, it's before COVID, the anti-vaxxers who wouldn't get their children vaccinated, but then those children either, has serious complications from basic little sicknesses that other kids navigate through with shots, or they spread things to other children and got them sick and put everybody in a dangerous spot. I don't want to see any of us doing that same thing. So even if you choose not to get vaccinated, I just ask you to do your part to stay clean, wash your hands, wear your mask, do what you need to do. Just don't be that person that's so selfish that you don't do your part to protect yourself and everybody around you. It doesn't matter whether you get vaccinated or not. Like, I feel like COVID definitely exposed our selfishness as a people. And I'm not talking about as a culture. I'm talking about just in this country, period. COVID and living through that really did show just how individualistic we have become as a society. So many people are just about themselves and their comfort and what they want and what they don't want. We can't be like that. There are lots of lives that were lost just because people were protesting against the idea of wearing a mask and washing their hands, which is dirty. But I mean, if you want to be dirty, that's fine. But also don't be out here risking other people's lives because you're nasty. That's the point at the end of the day. If you listen to me babble on about the vaccine and you're starting to have a change of heart, all that I say, don't do it because I said do it. Don't go get the vaccine because somebody else told you to do it. If you're not comfortable with it, you're not comfortable with it. And you're allowed to feel that way. But I just ask that you do your due diligence and do your own research to really inform yourself about what the vaccine is, what it is not, risks that are actually real versus the risks that are talked about and sensationalized on social media and on the internet and on the news. Really take the time to self-educate and make sure that you are, no matter what decision you make, your decision is informed. Because at the end of the day, that is really what's most important. Moving right along, it's been a busy time in the internet spaces and everywhere else. Another major thing that has been going on lately, and for my audience, this is for us as a culture to discuss, so anyone else respectfully can see their way out of this conversation. But if you've been on Instagram or listening to the radio or anything else in the past 3 or so weeks, then you know that we have been coming through the crazy phenomenon that has been Bonnet Gate. That's what I'm calling it. I'm calling it Bonnet Gate. For those who don't know, a couple weeks ago, there was a picture online that was posted of a group of Black women standing at the baggage claim in an airport. I don't remember which airport it was. That's not important. The fact of the matter is, the picture was posted because all of these women were in pajamas and wearing their bonnets. And later on, I saw news that this particular group of women, I think they were from the same family, they had been notified of the death of a loved one, and they were rushing to travel for that, to grieve or in things like that, memorialize this person. I don't know how true that is. I did not confirm any sources with that. I did see that that was one story buzzing around. But regardless, this picture sparked an entire conversation and just blow up of people debating whether or not it is appropriate to wear your bonnet outside. Those of you who follow me on Instagram know that I also joined in the chatter on this a little bit. There were those who said that bonnets don't belong outside, they belong in the house. And then there were plenty who have argued that people just need to leave Black women alone. And let us wear what we want to wear and let us do what we want to do when we get ready to do it. Here's my thing. My thing is that this is one of those subjects where everybody is not going to agree. And this is one of those subjects where you cannot expect, with all the different experiences that we live as Black people, you can't expect us to get on one accord with something like this. And also, there's really, in my opinion, there is no need for us to have spent this much time on this topic because there are so many other bigger, more important things we could be talking about and fighting for as a people. But instead, we want to sit here and talk about bonnets. So I know that the chatter is starting to die down now, finally. But since it has been such a hot topic, I do want to take a moment on this show. This show where I try to encourage my culture, talk to my culture, encourage tough conversations with my people, love on y'all, and all of that. I'm going to bare my soul and be real, real with y'all right now. I come from a family and a household where I was raised to not wear my pajamas outside. For me, pajamas include the clothes that you wear to sleep, if you wear clothes to sleep, the whatever you put on your head when you go to sleep, the crust in your eyes when you sleep, the slob on your mouth when you sleep. I was taught that when you walk out of your house to go somewhere, you're supposed to be some semblance of presentable. That's just how I was raised. And I know that not everybody was raised like that. And I know that presentable, in air quotes, is subjective to whoever the person is and their judgment. I get that. I do. However, even with all that being said and understanding that, the fact of the matter is, I get so disappointed and disheartened when I look back at old pictures of Black people. And one thing that I've always loved is flipping through pictures and photographs. You know, people are memorialized through pictures. Pictures serve as a reminder of how things used to be and that people were here. And sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. But one thing I love is to look at pictures of Black people in the early 20th century. The turn of the century, up until maybe the 60s and 70s. And a reason why I like to look at those pictures is because as a people, we were like one generation removed from slavery at that point. Some Black people have found wealth that their ancestors could only dream about. Even those Black people who didn't find wealth, they found independence that they had never known before. And they carried themselves in a way that had dignity and pride. And even when they were, you know, just going for a walk with their friends or whatever, they came out presentably. You know, back then, the attire of the day was dresses and suits and ties and hats and purses and heels and all that. I'm not saying, and I know that's not the attire today. That's not the societal norm in 2021. I certainly don't expect anybody to put on a three-piece suit and a full dress ensemble to go get bread and milk at the store. I'm not saying that. But I love to look at those pictures because they just look so classy and so beautiful. Even in all that they were suffering and going through and fighting through, their dress was a form of resistance in my belief. They got to control what they put on their bodies, and they presented themselves with pride. They presented themselves with confidence and dignity. And now we've spent 3 weeks fighting and arguing with each other over whether or not you should be wearing your crusty ass scarf and your chicken frying dress. And for those who don't know what a chicken frying dress is, it's like this running joke online. Your sundress from last year that you done wore all winter and you done started cooking in and doing all kind of stuff in. That's your chicken frying dress. We spent 3 weeks fighting over and some defending the right to wear that BS outside. And here's my thing. I know that some people are probably rolling their eyes listening to this portion. That's fine. I get it. I do. I know that this is an unpopular opinion, but I just sit and wonder, how do we go as a people from presenting ourselves that way back in the day to now arguing and justifying wearing your damn pajamas outside? I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. And I just feel like we could do better. There are other people out here that feel like we could do better too, which is when Monique comes into this conversation. Now, I will be honest, there are not a lot of things that Monique has said over the years that I agree with. I don't agree with Monique all the time. I don't. Do I enjoy some of her comedy? Sometimes. Did I enjoy the movie Fat Girls? Sure did. Have I enjoyed her appearance in other movies? I did. Did I agree with how she handled the Netflix thing a couple years ago when she was calling for folks to boycott? I didn't at the time. I agree with the sentiment that black women deserve to be paid what we're worth. Absolutely. But I did not agree with how she handled that situation. I also do not agree sometimes with how Monique runs her business. I do feel like the person managing her affairs sometimes can do a little more harm for her than good. But if that's what works for her, that's what works for her. However, Monique came into the conversation about bonnets, sitting in her robe, which she's been criticized for, just the irony of that. Because she had a similar perspective as me. She talked about how, you know, basically saying bonnets ain't cute. We could do so much better. She's trying to come to have this heart-to-heart with her fellow sisters as, you know, an elder, basically. And, you know, she was like, you know, some of y'all call me auntie, and I'm going to be your auntie right now. I'm going to tell you something you might not want to hear. Y'all could do better. And we need to leave the bonnets at home. We don't need to be running around in them. They're not cute, this and that. Monique has caused so much flack for her position. And as I said, because ironically, she did give this spiel while sitting in a robe. But I will add, she was in a robe, but she was also in her own house. Just like, I don't believe in wearing my bonnet outside, but I have definitely worn my bonnet on my Instagram story before. In the early days of me TikToking, when I was just bored during the pandemic, I definitely wore my bonnet in a couple TikToks. But once again, I did all that from my house. And some would argue, well, you still present yourself to the world and this and that. But I'm not outside in the world like that. And when it all comes down to it, this is what it boils down to for me. And y'all don't have to agree, or y'all don't have to agree with me on this. You don't. But this is what it is for me. I've tried to wear my bonnet or my scarf outside before, and I was extremely uncomfortable. And when we talk about this argument that, well, I don't need to be dressed up to run down the street to pump gas. I don't need to be dressed up to run to the store real quick. I don't need to be dressed up to run to the hair store when I'm on my way to get my hair done. I don't need to get dressed up to do X, Y, and Z. The fact of the matter is, small things can become big things. And while some of you on an individual level may only choose to wear your bonnet out when you're in a pinch of time or in certain contexts and situations and places, the fact of the matter is there are just as many people wearing their bonnet out in places that are not that small or minute. There are people picking their children up for school in their damn pajamas in the afternoon when they don't work at night. Because I know that somebody listening to this is going to be like, well, you don't know. Maybe they just woke up because they work nights. And maybe they this, maybe they that. No. Yo, everyday mama who either ain't been to work yet or done got off work, went to work in her bonnet too, is picking her kids up from school in her bonnet. Or coming to the sporting event. Or showing up wherever and doing whatever she wants to do in her bonnet. And that's not cool, y'all. We're so much better than that. And I recognize I have, you know, this position because of, once again, how I was raised and also just how I walk in this world. I'm a professional woman. I'm a woman who has navigated academia. I was a student. I was an involved student. I was an emerging professional. Now I am in the professional world. I run this brand. I am just hyper aware of the fact that I am you are your own personal brand. And anybody who's been to school, anybody who has worked in a corporate setting or a semi-corporate setting learns that you are a walking billboard for yourself. And so while we live in a world where we like to say, yes, looks shouldn't matter, they should not. But the reality of the world that we live in is that they do matter. Looks do matter. When you walk out here as your personal brand and your personal billboard and you in your pajamas 5 days out of seven, no matter where you're going, whether you sitting in a restaurant going out to eat or whether you going to the airport, no matter what that time of day it is, because a whole lot of people have used the argument, when I'm going to the airport, I'm asleep on the plane anyway. Okay, but sis, it is 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Why are you walking through the airport with your headscarf on? I don't get it. Like, some of y'all have acted like there are not entire brands dedicated to athletic and athleisure wear for you to chill and be comfortable, but still look like you got some sense. Instead, we are arguing over walking out of the house looking like you barely combed your hair and brushed your teeth. I don't know. And I don't want it to be confused. I'm not gonna, where I disagree with Monique's position is this idea of walking up to people and tapping them on the shoulder. I ain't tapping none of y'all grown nobodies on nothing. And I know that sounds silly. I almost cussed and I'm really trying to do better about that. But I'm not tapping another grown woman on her shoulder to tell her nothing about her hair, her bonnet, nothing else. Unless she got a fleck of lint in it or she done sat in something. Or that's different. But I'm going to let you look how you looking. We all choose heels to die on. If that's yours, good luck, Chuck. I'm not about to tap nobody. I'm not about to say, hey, sis, you might want to take your bonnet off because you could do better. Look, niggas is out here shooting each other over shoes. I'm not finna do all that. I'm not. And I'm also not going to see a black woman in her bonnet and just start thinking all these disparaging thoughts about her, because it's not that deep. That's still my sister and blackness at the end of the day. And I'm not going to do her like that. Even if I disagree with the outfit choice. But speaking for me and mine, I'm good. Like, I like to be comfortable in the airport as well, which is why I wear something like jeans or leggings and a t-shirt or something like that. My hair might be in a ponytail. It might be slicked up. It might be in a puff. But you're not going to see me out here nothing that I sleep in the bed in. And that's just me. That's it. That's all. being real, accountability moment, black women, we are such queens. We are beautiful. And while our royalty and our magic does not depend on what we put on our bodies, we could still stand to do better when it comes to wearing sleepwear and, you know, sleep headwear outside. That's just how I feel about it. Take it or leave it. Another thing that's going on is that recently the Asian American hate crime bill was passed by Congress. You know, I'm glad to see the community, that community, getting legislation to protect the, you know, themselves. They deserve that. All groups do. But I would be lying if I said that I didn't feel some type of way about the fact, the speed at which they got legislation for their group of people. It's not a jealousy thing. It's a principle thing. Black people have been going through hell and back in this country for over 400 years. Since we first arrived in 1619. So 400 and something years later, we have yet to pass an anti-lynching bill in Congress. We have yet to have a serious conversation about reparations for the Black American community, descendants of slaves specifically, and how to make that happen. Instead, when we talk about Black rights and reparations and liberation, etc., there's always a commission put in place to talk about the possibility of maybe doing it and to bring in a bunch of people to try to explain why our community is deserving of reparations. But here's a community that was chastised for a year, which is wrong. It's terrible. There's nothing right about it. No matter who was doing the chastising, ignorance is ignorance and it is always wrong. So I'm not mad that they got their due, not at all. I don't understand why. I do, actually. I'm not going to tell that lie. I just think it's funny how, you know, Black people are constantly and still currently fighting for our humanity to be acknowledged. And the fact that every group around us has gotten something for their suffering, something for the wrong committed against them, and still we have nothing. And we are still constantly told why we've done something wrong to deserve the lack of justice toward our community, the lack of just compassion and kindness towards our community, the lack of reparations, whether monetary or otherwise. We're still arguing, trying to educate people and tell people why it's asinine for Confederate monuments to still be up in a region of the country who lost a war forever ago. Like, we are still, we're not enslaved by chains anymore, but there are still plenty of systems in this country that seek to make us less than, that seek to keep us looking like and operating like second-class citizens, to that seek to either kill us or imprison us, or both. Every time that a Black person raises his or her voice to talk about the egregious injustices committed against us and our people, we are told why we deserve it. We are told why we don't deserve justice. We are told that it's too much effort and too much time and too much money and just too much whatever they want to come up with to give us our just due. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm glad to see Asian Americans getting legislation to protect their bodies and their lives, but I wish that my community could be extended the same courtesy. It is much overdue. Much overdue. It is sickening. And we just, I say that and I think about the fact that literally days ago, we reached the 100-year anniversary of the Tulsa race riot that destroyed Greenwood. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, also known as Black Wall Street. The fact that the festival that was planned to commemorate Greenwood and to commemorate, you know, the souls and the lives that were lost, the wealth that was lost, the generational wealth, that life-changing generational wealth that was lost in that three-day riot. The reason why the festival was canceled is because the people who are still alive from that riot, they were told that the reparations they demanded were too much. I listened to a woman who is, I think, 107, talk about how she still hears the screams from that riot. She still hears Black men and women and children screaming. She still remembers the gunshots. She remembers the shouting and the fires and the explosions. She remembers that at 107 years old, their families were given nothing. Nothing. And if we want to be real about it, it was yet another instance of somebody lying on a Black man saying that he attacked some white woman. Some Black man was accused of attacking a white woman in an elevator, and a white mob just took it upon themselves to get rid of an entire group of people and an entire neighborhood that was self-sufficient. And the important thing to remember about Greenwood, about Tulsa, about Black Wall Street burning, is that it wasn't the only place that happened. It wasn't. There was Rosewood as well. There were other places. I can't name them all. I wish that I could, but I might be here all night. Even though I can't name them, what I can tell you is this. It's 2021, and there are still sundown towns across America. I'm a Black woman from Kentucky. We got them here. There are places in this state where you know you don't ride your Black ass through there after dark. There are still plenty of places. My family travels to the Deep South regularly because I have an extended family that lives down in the Carolinas. And we know of places where we don't stop for gas. We know of plenty of places where you don't linger or lurk. You keep on pushing. Plenty of places. People who live in the Deep South, y'all know what I'm talking about. So for that to be our struggle, so continuous, so unrelenting, tokenism don't matter. The fact that Black people can go to universities now and get degrees and work in certain places alongside white people, the fact that we have the aesthetic of integration don't mean nothing, because the white people who don't want us there still remind us that they don't want us there. The white people who don't want to see us succeed remind us that they don't think anything of us. They question the validity of our presence. They question our qualifications. They purposely mispronounce our names. They say sly microaggressive-ass remarks about our hair and our clothes and whatever they assume to be our background. And yes, I get emotional thinking about it. I do. Because we carry on our shoulders so much beautiful but horrendous history for no other reason. No other reason than somebody woke up one day and decided that white was right. And then when somebody woke up and just decided that white was right and black was wrong, and we were to be at the bottom of the boots of society forever. And we have still continued to push through. We have continued to survive somehow. We have continued to succeed. And that says something, and I take pride in the strength of our bones and our spirits in that regard. But once again, it just makes me that much angrier to see how quickly and swiftly justice moves for some groups of people, while me and mine continue being out in these streets, online, and in whatever spaces we occupy, fighting for the right to be recognized as human beings who are equal. I could stay here all night talking about it, but let me know in the comments what y'all think. Hit me on Instagram. Leave a comment on the episode. Tell me what you think about it, whether you agree or disagree. Last but not least, though, I do want to lighten it up a bit on the what's going on subject. The last thing that I'm going to say about what's going on is an actual shout out to TikTok. So I mentioned earlier, I got on TikTok at the beginning of the pandemic. I got on there because I was bored and I had heard about it for a couple years and I just thought it was like a Gen Z thing. But I think we all slowly migrated over while we didn't have nothing better to do. And over time, I have grown to really enjoy TikTok as an outlet to laugh, see funny stuff. I've learned a lot through TikTok, which was very surprising and unexpected. But also, one thing I appreciate these days is the fact that TikTok is bringing back great things from yesteryear, such as old cartoons, old shows, reminders of things we loved when we were little. For the 90s kids, we've always been pretty nostalgic as a group. So, you know, seeing some of the stuff that we loved growing up make a reappearance is always cute and fun. But I particularly want to thank TikTok on tonight for reintroducing the world to the Backyardigans. Because I was a 90s kid who missed the initial wave of that show. Like, by the time the Backyardigans came out, I was basically off of Nick Jr. I was a full-time Disney kid by then. And, you know, I didn't pay no attention to these little things. I was too old. And I didn't have younger siblings in the house with me that made me watch it with them. So, I missed the wave. But when I tell y'all, some of these songs making a reappearance on TikTok are a whole entire bop. Like, I be in. Y'all, it's so unexpected, but it's so funny, and it just lifts your spirits on a rough day. But also, these songs been stuck in my head for a few weeks now. I can't even front. Like, the first time I heard something about a castaways, we are castaways. Ahoy there, ahoy, we are castaways. We're stuck where we are, no house, no car. Castaways, ahoy, we are castaways. I was just like, y'all, Backyardigans, Uniqua, Tyrone, Pablo, I don't know the rest of y'all names. Y'all didn't have no business going that hard on Nickelodeon. Y'all truly did not. And then just when I think that I've gotten enough and it's good, it gets better. Because then I heard, what's the other song? Oh, Into the Thick of It. Into the Thick of It. Into the Thick of It. It ain't got no business being that lit. And then y'all went and added the Migos to the remix. Y'all, I be in off the Backyardigans on TikTok. It don't make no sense. It really doesn't. TikTok in general has taken so many hours of my productivity and could have been sleep schedule and life in general. But listen, it keeps me entertained. I love it. What's your favorite TikTok handle? What are some of your favorite sounds and videos? Leave some comments below to tell me about it. Hit me up on Instagram once again at The Cultured Queen or at culturedcom_pod. 2 M's. Let me know what you like on TikTok, because let me tell you, I could go in for days. There are several niche videos that appear regularly in my For You page. TikTok clearly knows that I'm black, and between it knows that I'm black, it knows that I love music, it knows that I like quirky things as well, it knows that I like men, it knows that I love love because TikTok calls me single in every language imaginable on a daily basis. Like, the couples are so simultaneously cute and disgustingly infuriating because I'm just like, I love that y'all love each other and you're beautiful, you are, but I want that. Not to sound envious, but dang, Jesus is me again. What do I need to do, Lord? What's the prayer of Sierra and others? I just, it's so lit. I done learned about DIY stuff and home improvement stuff. Cleaning talk gives me my life, even though I'm not the most organized person. But still, you know, they make me want to aspire to do a little bit better. What else is on there? Stripper talk is lit. This is not for the kids. Stripper talk is lit. I done learned folk be putting their money in the washing machine, which is wild to me. I done learned about the house moms. Native talk is also beautiful. Pacific Islander talk is beautiful as well. I could go on for days, y'all. I like TikTok. I didn't think much of it at first. I thought it was gonna be dumb and just pointless. I don't be doing the dances and stuff because God gave me the gift of music via singing, but not rhythm dancing. I mean, like, I can do a basic bop, but when it gets into choreography, it's a no for me, fam. But yeah, TikTok has definitely been the thing to lift my spirits. So I did want to end this segment on a light note by giving kudos to them for the Backyardigans. Hang tight. I'll be right back in a minute with our next segment called What's on My Mind. All right, y'all. While I take a break to blow my nose and get some water because allergies are currently kicking my butt, I do want to take a moment to remind you to follow me on Instagram. My main Instagram is at The Cultured Queen, cultured is spelled with a K, just like it is on the podcast. And my podcast account is at culturedcom, COMM, underscore pod, POD. Follow me on Instagram. Also, if you are enjoying the episode, if you have thoughts on the episode, go ahead and click that share button. Go ahead and give us a rating with the stars and leave me some comments below. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you don't like. I love dialogue, so let's talk, baby. Anyways, I'm gonna go get me another sip of water and I will be right back to the show. All right, y'all, getting right back into it. I'm gonna slide right into my next segment, which I like to call What's on My Mind. There are several things on my mind. I told you I'm a thinker, and you can tell that I'm a talker. So my mind is always on something or another. But here lately, as I sit here in my official black by popular demand shirt, I must say the one thing that has been lingering on my mind a lot, even though I went in about bonnets and all that. Regardless, one thing that has been on my mind a lot is just the beauty and the privilege and the joy of being black. And I know that on this show and on my channels, I talk a lot about that constant push and pull of appreciation and beauty and resilience and struggle as a black person. But no matter what we're going through, I'm always so immensely overjoyed to be a black woman. There is no other group like us, y'all. We so lit. We make culture. We form culture. Society follows us a lot and always has. And I'm affirmed in that belief and reminded of just how much here lately. I've been binge watching some good stuff on various streaming platforms, but I do want to put y'all on to one or two things here right quick. So right now on my watch list, there's a show on Netflix. It's called High on the Hog. And I want to stress that I'm not being paid to say any of this. Me and my little lowly brand is just, you know, hyping this for free. But if you want to know what the Culture Queen is watching currently, I'm finishing up a limited series on Netflix called High on the Hog. And High on the Hog basically talks about how African American cuisine shaped the palate of this country. They cover several different things. It's four episodes. They each take place in a different spot in both Black history and on the map. These locations are places where our people shaped cuisine. They start in Africa and they go chronologically in historical order all the way to Texas, and they talk about the different things that we took from each place, the things that traveled with us, the techniques that we created or picked up or perfected, etc. And when you watch this series, it's emotional. It was very, it was a surprise how emotional I got, especially in episode one. But it's such a beautiful journey that we go on, and you don't realize, like, food is a big part of our culture. As African Americans, especially, we have a unique relationship to it, that comes a lot from our bondage. We, like, one of the main and only places we were able to convene with each other and love on each other openly was through a meal, and you know, sitting around that table together. That's why it's called soul food. It's because it doesn't just feed your body. It truly feeds your emotions. It feeds your soul. We get joy from sharing and breaking bread with our family members and our friends. We cook with love. The act of preparing the food is just as much, is just as involved and just as emotional sometimes as the act of consuming it with the people you love the most. And so, you know, this show talks not only about those things, but also sheds some light on some of the culinary techniques and dishes that we created that still exist today. Some of which, you know, stereotypically, we're taught to think Black people don't consume this or Black people don't eat that. And the reality is that back in the day, it was a Black person who put other people onto it, or a Black person who started the trend of serving it a certain way. You know what I'm saying? So it's really awesome. It's a beautiful look at our culinary history here. It pays homage to our ancestors, some names that we know, many that we do not. And it also does a great job of interweaving the contemporary people who are, you know, wanting to educate our community and carry those stories on and those techniques on, and just remind folks that while we're enjoying these meals together, here's the history behind where they come from, and here's why we do these things this way. So I encourage you, if you haven't seen High on the Hog, go take a look. Another Netflix original that I watched recently was In Our Mother's Gardens. And when I say, y'all, I laughed, I cried, I saw myself, I saw my mama, I saw my granny, both of them. I saw my aunties represented in this beautiful documentary of Black women talking about their maternal lineage, and you know, talking about their relationships with their mothers and their grandmothers and their aunties, and just the stock of women that they come from and how those women before them shape who they are today. They talk about their memories. They talk about their upbringings. One sister has roots right here in my hometown of Louisville, Kentucky. And so that was special to me. Like, and I was wondering, I wonder if some of my people knew some of her people back then. Regardless, if you are a sister or a brother, even too, I think that everybody Black can take something from the documentary. It's a beautiful look at Black womanhood, just how multifaceted that is. Like I said, that push and pull of struggle and resilience, you know, the way that we uplift Black women and mothers as the matriarchs who have continued to keep people together and keep time moving on, even in our darkest days as a people. This is a reminder of that, but it's also a celebration of us, and the celebration of how we've evolved, and the celebration of the privilege that we have today as Black women of being able to think about things differently and to evaluate, you know, some of the good things and not the not so good things that we saw growing up, some of those painful generational curses that many of us are seeking and actively working to break. And also, you know, just reminding you to stay connected to the people you come from. Remember, you know, who they were. Continue to pass down those oral histories of their stories so that you are always walking with the affirmation of the fact that you are here because they survived everything they went through and they sewed into you in your life. They left pieces of themselves with you through your memories with them, through those tender pieces of advice that they gave you, through, you know, those quaint turns of phrase that they used, those things when you hear them out in public, things that might be meaningless to somebody else, it triggers a memory to some woman in your life. It's a reminder of all that. So if you get a chance and you want to watch something different, watch In Our Mother's Gardens. Another thing I've been watching on Netflix and just streaming platforms in general, I've been rewatching some of my 90s favorites. Love Jones is my favorite movie of all time, for those who don't know. I also love The Best Man, and I'm actively rewatching those while they're on Netflix, even though Netflix be playing us by putting like classics like that on there, but only leaving them up for a couple weeks or a month. Because the same day that Love Jones came back to Netflix, it said it's leaving on June the 30th. I'm like, dang, you just got here. But nevertheless, I digress. One thing that I left off of my notes that I watched on there, I watched a Nigerian movie on Netflix because, excuse me, even though I don't have direct ties to the motherland, I very much have respect for African cultures and customs and people. I think that the lineage and just the longevity of African traditions, and just, the fact that everything in a lot of African cultures means something, whether it's a print on a fabric, or the way that a meal is prepared, or the way they wear jewelry, or what metals are used for the jewelry, all these different things. I just think it's so intriguing and beautiful and wonderful. And so, me being a movie buff, one day I was bored. I didn't want to watch anything conventional or anything that everybody's talking about. I wanted to watch something totally new. So I watched a Nigerian movie called This Woman Called Life. It's a love story, kind of, sort of, but also a story of this woman's strive, her strides to do what she loves and make her passion come into fruition for herself. I highly recommend that one too. It had me all the way in my feelings. Everybody needs an open a container. If you watch the movie, you're gonna know what that means. It was lit. So if you need something to watch on Netflix, there's that. I also am thinking about the beauty of being black because next week is Juneteenth. And, I am fully ready to celebrate. I have taken off Friday the 18th because I am a black American and I wish somebody would ask me what holiday I'm observing on Friday the 18th. We're celebrating all weekend long, honey. Huh. Stoney the Rod, wait, no, Lord, I'm messing up the words. Stoney the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod. Okay, if you don't know where that comes from, I need you to learn your history. It is an excerpt from the Black National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing. We will be playing that for the whole neighborhood to hear. I plan to fully get on my neighbor's nerves with all my super blackety blackness. And yeah, it's Juneteenth. What is Juneteenth? If you don't know, Juneteenth is the holiday observed by Black Americans, which marks the day that the last remaining slaves in America were actually freed. The Emancipation Proclamation was signed, but 2 years there down in Galveston, Texas, nobody told the slaves that they were free until 2 years later when the Union soldiers pulled up and was like, "Hey, yo, go, yeah, this is unlawful. You're free." The last slaves were not freed until 2 years after emancipation, and so they were notified of their freedom on June the 19th. I believe it was 1865, 67. I'm sorry, I shouldn't know that date offhand. Pause. Google's free. Why? I tell people that all the time, and I can ask. I mean, I could check out for myself, right? It was. Oh, I was right. 1865. Thank you. Amen. Wonderful. So, yes, June 19th, 1865, the final remaining slaves in America or in Texas were freed. They rejoiced, they celebrated, and we continue to celebrate their emancipation to this day. So, I'm very excited to be taking part in local celebrations and things of that nature, uplifting Black businesses and, Black brand owners and such in commemoration of that date. The last thing on my mind is adulting. Y'all, your girl is still working on seeking balance. I know that you've noticed. I know that you've noticed. I ain't got to go into detail. I know that you've noticed. We hit the ground running real hard brand work wise this year. And then I got a new job that is a lot more demanding. And this is not excuses. I'm just explaining, like, I'm still struggling with finding balance, but still trying to work at it every day. I'm still seeking wellness, no matter what, how little the steps are. I started working out a couple weeks ago. I'm not like on a strict schedule, but my main goal in starting small is just to move my body more than I did yesterday, move my body more than I have since the pandemic hit. And I could feel myself getting stronger slowly but surely. So, you know, and I'm trying to learn how to appreciate those little wins, those non-scale wins, because I am one of those people who gets wrapped up in the numbers. Like, I mean, my goal is to lose weight, so why ain't I losing no weight? But at the same time, my clothes might fit differently. I might feel better. Those things matter just as much as the other stuff. So I'm learning how to just take the small steps, eat a few more fruits and veggies than I was the day before, and just, you know, continue to do better while continuing to try to figure out how to balance life. And I joined a mentor group recently as a mentee. And one thing that my mentor said that has stuck with me already is he straight up said, I'm not one of those people who lives to work. I don't live to work. I work to live. And I very much want to make sure that I keep that at the forefront of my mind, because I too want to be a person who works so that I can live the life that I want to live and not the other way around. If it's another thing that the pandemic taught me is that we are so disposable to some of these companies, these jobs. And people are having conversations about why people are still on unemployment when they could go back to work. But the reality is that a lot of people are making more money than they ever made at their previous jobs while on unemployment. And that's a whole other conversation for a different day, because we know that pay inequality is a thing. We know that capitalism is a thing that seeks to make the rich people richer and the poor people poor. And so we could be here all day and night talking about that. But you know, I just say all that to say that even with the new job, even with being busier than I was before, I want to continue to make conscious strides to make sure I do what Christian likes to enjoy and what brings me joy and what makes me happy and what is fun. And I encourage you to do the same thing. I've been house hunting. Y'all, it's ghetto. This market, like, I heard it was a crazy market. When I say that I have learned so much so quickly about the process of house hunting and home buying, it is unreal. And currently I'm like a sitting duck waiting to see if my offer on a home is gonna make it to be considered. There's a whole story behind that. Maybe I'll elaborate on it later. But basically, I'm just, you know, focused on the up and up. We moving on up in life. We're trying to move on up in the world. I'm exploring the world of passive income, because I literally... I want to build a life for myself that's comfortable. I come from a long line of survivors who I love and respect. But I do believe that in the spirit of standing on our ancestors' shoulders, they walked and ran so that I could run further. And, you know, I want to make a life for myself and my future family and children where we're not just surviving, we are also living life to the full extent we can. And, you know, I want to have that increase in that access to help my family members and pour into them some of or so much of what they've poured into me. I know that I could never repay them for all that they did and all that they continue to do. But I do want to create a life in which I'm able to sustain myself and also help them out too. So overall, just, you know, working hard, looking towards the future, trying to make big moves, trying to make small moves that'll add up to big moves. And I'm encouraging you listening that if you find yourself in a space where you want to do that, just do it. Just wake up and decide to take that first step. It ain't got to be nothing huge. I think we get caught up in the magnitude of things. But listen, it takes 100 pennies to add up to a dollar. And in every... it takes 100 singles to lead up to a Benjamin. It takes 10 Benjamins to lead to a stack. The point of that analogy is that, yeah, the big things, the big feats are great, but they are the culmination of little things underneath them. So just take small steps, as slow or as fast as you need to, and you're going to get where you want to be. All right. Hang tight. I'm going to come back here in a second for my last segment, what's coming up. All right, y'all, before getting out of here, I'm going to just drop this in your spirit right quick. If you need some encouragement, if you need just a listening ear, times be hard. times are rough. Sometimes we just find ourselves in a spot where we need a third party to weigh in. If you ever need some advice or just want somebody to run to, who can I run to? My inbox is open. Email me at theculturequeen@gmail.com. And like I said earlier, make sure you follow me on social media. Keep up with me and my shenanigans. I will not disappoint you. I'm always here for you. I'm your friend, the Culture Queen. Hit me up anytime. All right, back to the show. Said it's hard to say goodbye, my love. So hard to see you cry, my love. Hard to watch you walk out that door. Something, something, what you're looking for. All right, we've come to the end. Just like Dina and the dreams. In case you didn't know, there are not just three dreams. There are four. Let me stop. I need to watch Dreamgirls, y'all. That's one of my favorite movies. And I don't know if y'all have paid attention on Instagram. If you follow me, I'm sure you've seen me post every day. I forgot to touch on earlier, it's Black Music Month. Wow, that was a lot. It is Black Music Month. And as such, I've been participating in this countdown that this one page is doing where they give you a subject every day and you put like your favorite Black song that goes with it. And today's prompt was, what's the song that you killing everybody in with karaoke? And mine was It's All Over from Dreamgirls, because I know all the parts and I recite that entire song at least once a week. And so now Dreamgirls is just my spirit and I gotta watch it. But anyways, y'all didn't come here for that. To wrap up the show, this is my last segment called What's Coming Up. And I have a couple things for y'all. There is a big collaboration that I did with a neighboring podcast here on the interwebs called For the People. It's a friend of mine named Saeed, his co-host Sims. We sat down. We're going to talk about dating. We're going to talk about just the state of affairs between Black men and Black women here in 2021. And I know that we feel like, you know, we hear that topic discussed a lot, but I really like some of the things that came up in our conversation. So I will keep you posted. Check out my social media to stay updated on when that's coming, when that'll be posted. And I'm going to try to share it here on my channels as well. Second of all, I just plan to, what's coming up, me, I'm enjoying life, dang it. I am enjoying life. I am enjoying summertime in the sun for all of the days last year that I did not get to do so. And I encourage you to do the same. Let's live it up. Be safe and be smart. But also make strides to have a good time and get out of the house. Let the sun kiss your melanin, get you some vitamin D. Those of us who were not already vitamin D deficient probably definitely are now, because we spent so many days and nights in the house last year. So get outside, enjoy the summer, but take your allergy medicine, because yeah, I know it's a whole lot of y'all like me going through it, but we still gonna enjoy these rays anyway. And last but not least, y'all, what's coming up is me just continuing to stay booked, stay busy, and stay prayed up. Pray for your neighbor, pray for your friends if you are the praying type. If not, send all the good positive vibes their way. Support each other, love each other, continue to be someone that people can lean on and depend on, and make sure that you make strides to fill your cup at the same time that you pour into other people. Because what's Christian's favorite saying? You cannot pour into others from an empty cup. And so many of us, compromise ourselves and our health trying to give what we can't even, when we're not even, like, we give, we're not able to receive, but we are also not replenishing ourselves. And that's not a healthy combination. So make sure that you do unto others. Make sure that you also expect them to be there for you in the same capacity. And the ones who can't do that or choose not to, cut them off, sis. All right, y'all, that's it for me. I'm going to get on out of here for the night. Thank you again for listening to another episode of the Culture Commentary Podcast. I'm your host, Christian the Culture Queen. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to the show if you enjoyed it. Leave me some comments below to tell me what you thought. And hit me up on Instagram when you get a chance at culturecom_pod. Until next time, peace and love. Bye. Hey there, Culture fam. If you love what you heard today, make sure you rate, comment, and subscribe to the show. Follow me on Instagram at culturedcommpod. That's KulturedCommpod_POD. Head over to theculturequeen.com to catch up on past blog posts and subscribe there. And for any other suggestions, comments, or inquiries, hit me up at theculturequeen@gmail.com. Once again, thank you so much for listening. Peace, blessings, and love to you all. Stay cultured. Thanks.